Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. That's at page 944 of your pew Bible. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light."
Feelings. I found myself in a place of sorrow. I found myself in a place of grief. And at first I didn't have language for it. All I knew was something was off. And I couldn't trace it back to any misstep I took. I couldn't trace it back to anything that I've done that was like a consequence. My emotions were just, I had feelings. I was feeling a lot. Whether it was pandemic stuff, something I've never even knew could happen, or whether it was relational stuff that was just not working out, or friends just not ending, friendships not ending well, or it was just my own personal brokenness, turmoil, internal battle. I just had feelings, still have feelings, and what I realized is that there is a place in feelings where you can honor the Lord, where I can have these feelings, and he's not in heaven like, "Hey, get out of that, get out of those feelings, don't feel that." He's not rushing me to get to a place that I'm not. But he's not just in heaven, but he's sitting with me in it, in my tears, in my confusion, in my frustration, in my questions. He's sitting here, present with me. And I've realized and I've learned something about him in my feelings that I may not have learned in the spirit, per se. I've learned something about him being the God of my emotions, the one who created me, that I may not have learned had I not been in this place. I've learned how to suffer with him. I think a lot of times before in my life, I've slipped into depression easier and slipped into a worldly grief easier because I've tried to suffer without him. But I've learned how to suffer with him through this process. When I haven't been able to pray like I used to, I've learned how to suffer with him. The fellowship, join him in the fellowship of his suffering. And that's what this album is. That's what these songs are. My process of lament, my process of suffering with him. Being able to feel my feelings, but not lean on them. Father, I thank you for allowing me to have feelings.
So that video is about us having feelings during the time of the pandemic. And Chandler Moore, a Christian artist, reflects that he was having struggles with his feelings and that he had to endure those struggles and with those struggles go into his relationship with the Master, with Jesus, and acknowledge that Jesus was the suffering servant. And I couldn't help but thinking of our brother Mark, who's going through a real hard time. And I can't think of our brother Chris, who's going through a really hard time. And that those are real feelings that they must be having. And that we have to pray for them and love them. I love Mark. He's a complicated guy. He's become a very good friend over the last 15 years. But I just know that he loves you and that he would do just about anything to protect you, his flock. So I just want to acknowledge Mark now as we go into this time together. And Chris, like many of you haven't met Chris before, but before Chris left to go to Vancouver, I had this lovely lunch with Chris, and he was sitting across the table from me, and he looked like Dustin Bufflin, if you remember Dustin Bufflin, the ex-Jet. People actually thought that's who I was having lunch with. It was quite an honor. And we said that indeed it was Dustin Bufflin and had a little fun. Anyway, so I just wanted to acknowledge this tough time, and that's why I'm speaking to you today, because I love Mark and I love Chris. And I just want to ask you, how are you feeling right now? How are you feeling? Are you feeling just about you've had enough of COVID-19 and the pandemic? Many of us have had just about enough. Out of all the difficulties and the issues, I speak for many of my peers in healthcare that many folks in healthcare are just burned out. And I think many people in many service industries are burned out. There was a recent study by a group of physicians in India that found that 87% endorsed physical exhaustion and 84% endorsed emotional exhaustion. And these are your caregivers. So how are you feeling 21 months after this pandemic? Are you feeling sad? Are you feeling anxious? Are you feeling angry? Are you confused? Are you sick and tired of the polarization in society and even the polarization in the church? Are you just plain tired? Are you feeling heavily burdened, heavily laden? Into this complicated emotional set comes what I think is one of the most beautiful invitations written in history. Come, all you who are weary and heavy laden. The invitation that Jesus has for you that was read for us by Kate this morning is from Matthew 11. And we'll read it together one more time. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened or heavy laden in other translations, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen to this poetic rendering of our passage in Eugene Peterson's The Message. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. So we will examine this amazing invitation that Jesus extended to his people, especially to those of us who are at the end of our rope. We will consider the invitation as well as the invited. Who is invited? We will look at the image that Jesus chooses to tell this story around, the image of his yoke. We will look at the intervention that he describes that's required for us to truly come into his rest. We will look at this internship, this learning from the gentle and humble master. And we will end with the ideal. The invitation of Jesus is simple and to the point. He simply says, come to me. Come to me. Thank you for Shelley and the worship team for having so many songs that conjured that up in our minds, this beautiful idea of just coming to Jesus. The invitation is open. It simply requires a response from each of us. He says, come, and we have to go. It's very similar to that passage in Revelation 3:20, the beautiful, iconic image of Jesus standing at the door of your heart, knocking, waiting for you to open the door. You must open the door. You must agree to come to follow Jesus. You must open the door to let Jesus into the heart of your life. And he describes an intimate relationship. We will eat together, you and I. So right now, if you are feeling tired and weary and heavy laden, Jesus is saying, come to me. Come to me. So who is invited? Who is invited? Well, in this passage, the invitation is for those who are weary and heavy laden, people who are burdened. We can imagine during this COVID time, it might be people who are afraid, people who are depressed, anxious, people who've been ill, people who have long COVID, people who are lonely, people who have suffered economic loss, people in nursing homes who can't be visited by their kids. But the invitation is to all of you who are weary and heavy burdened. The Greek words here for weary and heavy laden or burden are words that come from work, people who've worked hard. People who've worked hard. Yet Jesus invites us into rest. We need to acknowledge that Jesus is not promising us rest for our bodies. The promise is very specific. We have rest for our souls. And in that context, most scholars believe that Jesus had a special invitation for those who were burnt out from religion. Mark often refers to the fact that religion is not the same as the Christian faith. We can imagine people working hard to satisfy an angry and disapproving God and feeling very burnt out doing so. Can you relate to that? If that's the way you feel, that you just cannot keep trying to please God, he's saying, whoa, 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 come to me. Come to me. We can find rest for your soul. Here's an example of the contrast between the invitation that Jesus has for us and that would have been put on by the religious people of the time. This is from Matthew 23, verse 4. Beginning with verse 1 in Matthew 23, then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, the scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, so do and observe whatever they tell you. But do not do the works they do, for they preach, but they do not practice. Listen to this. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do not do all the deeds. They do all their deeds to be seen by others. Jesus is critical of the religious people putting burdens on his people. In our context, it sometimes reminds me of all the burdens and the rituals, the religious rituals we have around COVID now. How many things have changed? It's funny, in the clinic, I go to hug a person in distress and they kind of recoil from me. Things have changed. Jesus wants us to move from our burnout, our fatigue, our feeling burdened, especially the burdens of religious life, to gentle and humble peace and rest. You might ask, who hasn't felt weary and burdened during the last 18 months? And I think that's exactly the point. Everybody is invited. Everybody is welcome. All of you, come to Jesus. If all are invited, can all come? If all are invited, can all come to Jesus? This is a picture that refers to what Mark's been preaching about the last couple of weeks, this idea of the new covenant. That in the Holy of Holies, there was a great curtain separating where God resided from where the priest was able to attend every now and then. This barrier was torn from the top down symbolically, opening up the access to each of us to God. We can now all have direct access to the Creator of the universe. That's a beautiful image. In this time of great thought about racism, I love the expression, every tongue, every nation being welcomed in heaven. What a beautiful picture. Every tongue, every nation, access to Jesus Christ. Everyone, you are invited to come. If you're like me and you have a little bit of a fascination with electric cars and particularly with Tesla, this is the cockpit of the Tesla Cybertruck, which is a wild stainless steel vehicle that can pull 12,000 pounds. And it's just a ridiculous, and it's $39,000 they say it's going to cost. It's wild. But this is called the yoke of the Tesla Cybertruck. And we think of the yoke of Jesus, we think of the steering thing, the yoke of a cockpit also in a fighter jet. It's called a yoke. But this is not the type of yoke that Jesus was referring to. This is the picture that Jesus was referring to, an old school yoke, the yoke of Jesus. This word picture is a device designed for linking two beasts of burden together. It allows them to be controlled, and it allows them to accomplish more work than either would be able to do on their own. So we have this picture here of the power of being yoked to Jesus. And these are called beasts of burden, and we know that this term burden is sprinkled throughout this passage. So this is the yoke of Jesus, and inside this yoke, there's a beautiful picture here. I love this artistic expression of the yoke of Jesus. Inside the yoke, there's a striking closeness. You are side by side with the Master as you work together. There's an opportunity to say, well, how does the Master do this as he works beside you? There's the concept of sharing one's burden and therefore lightening it. Again, contrast this with the yoke of slavery. Paul refers to the yoke of slavery in Galatians 5, 1 and 13. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. See, yokes were used to do terrible things as well. And Jesus calls this analogy the yoke of slavery. What an amazing contrast. Moving from the yoke of slavery, literally a yoke around someone's neck to make them do exactly as you would have them do, a slave, to this yoke of Jesus, this willingly putting on a yoke to walk and work beside the master. So we're going to call now the question, what is the intervention of Jesus through this yoke? What is the intervention? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Don't you love that picture? Don't you just wish that that's exactly what Pastor Mark is feeling right now, getting that embrace from Jesus? And don't you just wish that that's what Chris is feeling right now, this embrace? So the intervention, and this is the picture of the yoke of Jesus with a criminal, again, showing the fact that our master was for those in trouble. And a beautiful picture. The intervention is really up to you and I. The invitation is to all, every nation, every tongue, come. Especially if you're tired, weary, burned out. And we have to respond and put on the yoke. It's a offering. It's one of submission. And if you're like most of us, submission doesn't come easily. A voluntary submission. Do you hear Jesus inviting you to come to him right now? Are you willing to submit and offer your life to him? Next, we will look at the internship, the place where you learn from our master. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The internship is working with the master, learning his character, and the passage here highlights especially the characteristics of gentleness and humility. We must acknowledge that the yoke is a symbol of work. Yokes were done to accomplish heavy work. And I think this is that learning from Jesus is not just about Bible study. It's not academic. It's not filling in blanks. Jesus used scripture to solve everyday practical problems with people, to teach them eternal truths. The disciples saw how the master used scripture to change lives, not just learn scripture. This beautiful expression in the message, the unforced rhythms of grace. I just love that idea, the unforced rhythms of grace. And I can think about Jesus using the unforced rhythms of grace as he encountered the woman at the well, as he healed Lazarus, as he fed the multitudes, as he healed the blind man at the pool of Siloam. So how do we learn from Jesus? In medicine, we have this see one, do one, teach one. If you have to aspirate fluid off of someone's chest, you watch the surgeon do it, then you do the next one, and then you teach your intern after that. See one, do one, teach one. And it's actually remarkably true and terrifying, I must tell you, when you're working in the hospital. Okay, Neil, it's your turn. Stick the needle in there. I've never done this before. You saw me do it. Go ahead. And I think that with the master, Jesus, that's how he dealt with things. So it's doing, not just reading or listening. Imagine the disciples as they participated in the feeding of the 5,000. They were the ones handing out the paltry bread and loaves and fishes. Yet they saw the 5,000 fed. And they came back with their baskets full, each disciple, 12 baskets, 12 disciples. They were working together side by side with Jesus. Jesus did the multiplication. They did the service. Imagine the teachable moments in the yoke beside Jesus. So give yourself an opportunity to work with Jesus. Maybe ask yourself, am I having any opportunities to work side by side with Jesus? COVID makes it harder, clearly. But ask yourself that question. See how the Master works and lives. Jesus will pull as hard as he has to in the yoke beside you. And you may feel his pull at times. And then hopefully you can experience these unforced rhythms of grace. The image of the yoke captures hard work with the Master. I think that's the only image you can have that would have been appropriate for the agricultural world that Jesus was teaching in. And this paradox of the teaching is that through this symbol of hard work and submission, Jesus says, come into my rest. This dissonance between hard physical work and a rested soul. Don Cousins, who wrote the text Leader Shift, talks about the zone of anointing. And I hope you've experienced the zone of anointing. It's when you are working for Jesus exactly where you feel that you are gifted. And then it doesn't feel like work. It is this beautiful pleasure. I know it's hard work for our worship team up here, but they often just look like it's so easy to them to do what they do. When you see a musician play, like when I watch Ari play, it's like, oh my goodness, that's his zone of anointing. That's a gift. When we watch Yuri play and Michelle play and people sing, and Shelley and my lovely wife Kate, who I'm not allowed to mention. This zone of anointing, working with Jesus, I hope you've experienced that. I believe it's a real thing. Again, hear the difference between Jesus talking about working yet finding rest, this difference that serving in the Spirit makes, from 1 John 5. This is how we know that we are the children of God, by loving God and by carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. So again, keeping commands is a picture of working, in my mind. Yet, these aren't burdensome to people. They're not putting a heavy burden on people. So we're going to look at the internship now. This internship, what characteristics does Jesus stress that we will experience with his yoke on? Does Jesus say, come into my rest, for I am a great prophet. Come into my rest, for I am the most intelligent being ever. I am God. Come into the yoke of my yoke because I'm a really hard worker. Come into my yoke because I am well trained and I have the appropriate qualifications to lead you in this way. In the verses that Kate read for us, Jesus is described as the only one knowing the Father. Come into me because I have special knowledge of the Father. I am a unique being. No, he stresses his gentleness and his humility. Come and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit. And these are things that you really have to be with someone to experience. This sense of gentleness, this sense of humility. And I think it begs the question, how are you and I doing with these areas of our character? Do people see you as a gentle person? Do they see you as a humble person willing to work with Jesus? So we're going to finish with the ideal. What is the ideal Jesus is striving to teach us here? The invitation from Jesus for all of us is to work alongside him and learn from him, especially his gentleness and his humility, to the end of having a rested soul and working in ways that do not burn us out or weigh us down. He says, "For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So rest for our souls through responding to the invitation of Jesus and giving my life over to him, this idea of submitting to him. Rest through working with Jesus. A sense of sharing the demands of our lives with Jesus, and in so doing, keeping our burden light. We work where Jesus works. That's a great, again, the image of the yoke. You can't get away from where he's working. And I think much of the time, I'm just unyoked and I'm doing my own thing, and it has nothing to do with what Jesus is doing. So the ideal, I think we'll find here in Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Followers of Jesus, serving each other and the world around them humbly, gently, sacrificially. Listen to what is said here. "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross." You've seen these signs, "No Jesus, no peace, no Jesus, no peace." And I think it perfectly applies here to rest. No Jesus and no rest. And no Jesus and no rest. So what are the steps to peace and truth and rest? Acknowledge the burdens of your life. Everybody has burdens in their life. Acknowledge them. You may have created some of them. Approach Jesus. Accept the invitation. Jesus is saying, "Come to me." Each person here, Jesus is saying, "Come to me." The first step for your soul is to admit that you are tired and burdened. Come to Jesus and then take his yoke upon you. And that involves submission. Further steps to peace and truth and rest. Understand the image. Understand the image of the yoke. It symbolizes the strength of a divine partnership, not slavery. It is indeed a divine paradox because work leads to rest. Learn to be obedient to the gentle and humble master. And I love this saying, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Let's pray together. Lord, you are standing here and knocking at the doors of our hearts, and you are offering a very simple invitation to us. Come to me. Everybody with stuff, everybody who's burdened, everybody who's tired, everybody who's sick. everybody who's anxious, everybody who's depressed, everybody who's lonely, come to me, and I will give you rest for your souls. Lord, we crave that rest. We acknowledge our burden. Let each one come. Let each one submit. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Our benediction today is from the words of Jesus as rendered by the poet Eugene Peterson. Listen to these words, and I hope you can respond. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Please respond to this invitation. Come to Jesus and go in peace. Amen.